May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 909. Why, drooping saint dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn 909. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, reading down to verse 29. (Clears The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another, what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you, that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to draw our hearts, our affections, our minds away from the things of time, from the busy scenes of life that many have been occupied in today, and that thou wilt draw us to thyself. Oh, may our hearts and our affections be set on things above, where Christ sitteth. And, O Lord, as we come this evening, we solemnly realise it is one more occasion, and yet one less. And, oh, that our hearts and souls may be rightly exercised concerning a vast eternity and the great day of death. One said, How shall I stand in that great day? Oh, may this be the important question, Lord, within each of our souls. Oh, that we may have that real religion that's more than notion. May we be amongst those that are truly born again. Oh, do quicken us into life, dear Lord. That we may truly hunger and thirst after thee and thy word. And oh, as we come now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt feed our souls with that bread from heaven. For thou hast said, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, for grace to humbly come to thy dear feet. Oh, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. That name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. And O Lord, we come as poor, needy sinners, if one may speak for us each. Lord, our best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. Oh, we do seek for grace to confess our many sins before thee. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we would be found as true a penitent sinners at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus, that precious blood that shall never lose its power. Oh, we would praise thee for this. Lord, we need the application of it in our never-dying souls. We need thee to sweetly assure us that we're among those that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for, and that it was for our sins thou didst shed thy precious blood, lay down thy precious life, that our souls may live, and live forevermore. And O Lord, as we gather this evening, we do pray that thy sweet presence may be known and sweetly felt, both in our hearts, dear Lord, and too within these walls, that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Oh, we need thee so much. We need thy help now. We need thy help to pray. We need thy help to sing thy praises, Lord. And we need thy help to preach. And oh, may thy people be helped to hear, that they may hear for eternity and hear to profit. Oh, Lord, we need more and more grace, and only thou canst give it. And oh, how we need that grace to endure to the end, that grace to hold on our way. And oh, we pray for grace to be given to us each moment and each day and each hour. May thy grace abound in us. No, we pray, dear Lord, for more and more faith. We seem so often so faithless, like thy dear disciples. And oh, may we have that faith to believe, even to the saving of our soul. Lord, we need thee to guide us and direct us in every step. both in providence and in grace. Oh, how we need Thee to come, Lord, and to lead us into Thy truth and to teach us, and to lead us in the way Thou would have us to go in all things. May we not be left to walk in sparks of our own kingdom. But oh, we pray for Thee to give us wisdom from above, that we may be made to salvation wise. Lord, we feel our foolishness, our ignorance. But oh, how we need that wisdom that cometh from above, which only Thou canst give. And we pray, Lord, for humility to be granted to us. Oh, may we be given grace to humble ourselves under Thy mighty hand. And Lord, we pray to be nothing, that the precious Jesus may be the all and in all. Oh, do lead us by faith into Thy sufferings and death. May we have the blessed assurance from heaven that it was for crimes that we have done Thou didst suffer, bleed and die. And O Lord, we would commit to Thee Thy dear people. Thou knowest, Lord, all their needs. We pray Thou wilt come where each one is tonight. Thou wilt visit us each with Thy salvation. That Thou wilt make the crooked things straight, Lord, the rough places plain. That Thou wilt lift up those that are in the depths and in low places, Lord. For Thou knowest how low Thy people sink. And those that are full of sorrow, O Lord, may that sorrow be turned into joy. The tears of sorrow and weeping may be taken away, and the tears of joy fill their souls. Deliver us from the tempter's power, dear Lord. Thou knowest how powerful Satan is. Oh, do cast him out. Set Thy people at liberty. Those that are bound, Lord, oh, do loose them. Let them go. May there be that sweet liberty known and felt, Lord, in each of our souls. And oh, do grant that sweet liberty in the preaching of Thy word, and sweet liberty at the throne of grace, that we might spread all our burdens, our cares, our concerns upon Thee, and leave them in Thy blessed hands. Do remember the dear children, the dear young people. We pray Thou would abundantly bless them in early days. May they be taught of Thee, given an aching void which this world can never fill, and keep close to the handmaidens of the heavenly bowing, who keep them from the world, Lord, in these solemn days. Keep them from all natural religion. May they be blessed with that religion that Thou art the author of and the finisher of. Lord, who hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring, send down, we pray, answers of peace. Remember those in affliction. We pray for each one in affliction's pathway. Many are laid aside, Lord, some in very low places. We pray for our dear friend in the hospital, that Thou wilt remember her. We thank Thee for bringing her safely through the operation. And we pray that Thou wilt be her strength, her portion, her all. and may she be enabled by thy help to commit her way to thee and to cast all her cares upon thee. And may she be further healed and restored and spared if it's thy will. And may all these afflictions, Lord, for all thy afflicted ones and all thy dealings with us each be sanctified, and the bitter be made sweet, and the rough places plain. And do help those that need thy help in a special way, and those, Lord, that have got impossible things, may they be given faith to believe there's nothing impossible with thee. Lord, do help the deacons here and guide them and direct them and bless them. Help them in the choice of the hymns, that they may prove to be thy choice and made a blessing to thy dear people, unto their own souls too. And do pour out thy Spirit, Lord, upon thy church here, and if it would please thee, may many be born again, and our own flock at home too, and Zion at large. Oh, that thou wouldst work and quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Lord, may thy people be abundantly blessed and filled with thy Spirit, that they might run in thy delightful ways. For thou hast promised to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, we beg of thee to fulfill thy sweet promises, and that thou wilt yet work. For thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, do dry up in us all the exercise that's only flesh, Lord. Bring to fruition those exercises of thy people that are real. And oh, that thou wouldst yet send real prosperity into our souls and into the churches, and that there may be yet a time of real rejoicing and a praising of thy holy name. Do help our own flock as they gather for prayer this evening. May it be a time of real blessing to them. And Lord, may their prayers be heard and answered, and that there may be yet the sound of an abundance of rain. Bless the ministry of thy servants as they labour here and throughout Zion. We pray that thou wilt crown thy gospel through them with success. And in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this nation. Oh, do come, Lord, and turn our leaders from serving themselves and serving men to serve thee, the only true God. May all the laws that are on our statute book that are contrary to thy word be overthrown, and all those laws they're seeking to impose upon us, Lord, may they yet be overturned and overturned. Lord, the power's thine. Do hear the prayers of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And oh, do heal our queen and restore her if it would please thee, and yet spare her to this nation. And may she and her husband and family in their souls be blessed with those vital things of God, and be as lights in the nation. And may it please thee yet to raise up men of grace and heavenly wisdom to guide and direct our land under thy gracious hand. Remember all thy persecuted ones, and those in famine, those in war. and all that need thee. And Lord, who come now and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. Touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. We would praise thy holy name for all thy great mercies, and crown thee Lord of all. For, Lord, we are not worthy of the least of them. Do be with us now as we seek to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, and remember any we may have left out or forgotten. We thank thee, thou dost not forget thy people. We ask thee to forgive all our many sins, anything we've uttered amiss. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 335. Poor angry bosom, hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. Hymn 335.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the word we had before us last evening, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and the last three words in verse 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, the last three words in verse 25. Lord, help me. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15, the last three words in verse 25. Lord, help me. These words have so rested upon me since we tried to look at them a little last evening. And throughout the day they have followed me, and I trust we shall prove it to be of the Lord to bring them again before you. We find so often throughout God's holy word the prayers that are recorded, for the most part, are very short prayers. But it's like the hymn writer said concerning Jabez's prayer. It was a short but an effectual prayer. And if you look in the case, as we tried to last evening, of this dear woman, her prayer was not a great long prayer. It was three words. Lord, help me. But you look how effectual it was. The Lord was to wonderfully answer that prayer. And not only to deliver the dear woman, but to deliver her daughter also. Because they were bound up together in this great trial they were in. You see, nothing comes by chance. It wasn't by chance that this dear woman had come into this great trial at this time with her daughter. And the trial in her own heart, as we looked at last evening, of her sin. The Lord had appointed it all. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And this was all appointed that she might be brought to the place to utter from her inmost heart these three words. Lord, help me. And as we noticed last evening, she had to come low enough to pray it from her heart. It's something the flesh doesn't like, does it? Doesn't be like being brought down. But I often think when we're in a low place, and there may be those of you this evening that are in a low place, what the dear poet said, you'll never think you're sunk too low if Jesus on you pity show. And if you look in the case of this dear woman, you look at the pity the Lord showed upon her. And how he wonderfully answered the prayer in these three words. Well, one seeks divine help and heavenly guidance to look at a few things in this evening. Lord, help me. You may have wondered why we read together that ninth chapter of Mark's Gospel. Well, in it was a very parallel case to this dear woman, the dear man who had his son that Satan was out to destroy. The Lord Jesus had been in the Mount of Transfiguration with those three favoured disciples, and he descended back into the Valley of Tears. And there in that valley was this dear man whose son Satan had cast into the fire and into the water. But what did the dear man say? It seemed to drop in very sweetly this afternoon, thinking upon this text. He said to Jesus, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He needed divine help, that dear man, in what he was in. There again he had to prove what the Word of God so faithfully declares to us, vain is the help of man. Even those dear disciples of the Saviour could not help the dear man. They'd been given wonderful power by the Saviour to cast out devils. But here, in this case, they could not cast him out. And there was a reason why they couldn't cast him out. And that was because of their unbelief. And he said in that closing verse that we read, the Saviour said to them, when they asked why they couldn't cast him out, he said, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." But you look where the Lord brought that dear man. He brought him to this place where he had to ask the Lord to take away all his unbelief. What seemed to so rest upon me, what he said, "Lord, I believe," and remember how he said it, I'll look at it in a moment. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." In other words, "Lord, take away all this unbelief I'm plagued with." And you think tonight there may be those of you that have some heavy things like that dear man did. Great weights, great sorrows, great burdens, which no man can help you with. But oh, the unbelief that's in us. Look at what he said to the Saviour, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And what did Jesus say? He put the "if" right back on the dear man's head. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And what did the dear man say? Well, I quoted it. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." But what was so sweet in that case was this. How did he say it? He said it with tears. The dear man's heart was just melted and broken right down. He said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And oh, what a help it is when the Lord sweeps away the unbelief from us. And one feels tonight, as we try and feebly set this before you, the great need of the Lord to sweep away all that unbelief we're plagued with. We're soon doubting, aren't we? It's like the hymn writer said, "Doubting, fearing." And we so often are, aren't we? So when he prayed, and the dear woman prayed here, Lord, help me to believe. Is that your fervent petition tonight? Lord, do help me to believe. Give me that faith to believe. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, help me. Oh, may he help us to truly believe that he's able to do for us far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or think. And you look what the sweet issue with that dear man was. The Lord cast the devils out of him and restored the dear child. None other was able. And that leads me to a word that has followed me much this afternoon. Thinking of this word of our text, Lord help me. My mind went to Asa in the book of Proverbs, and he uttered a very beautiful word, and I just want to remind you of it this evening. And we read this, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. Well, beloved friends, first of all, there's a very sacred meaning to this. It is nothing with thee to help. This is what he says to the Lord. You see, in praying, Lord, help me, whatever you may be in tonight, may you prove like Asa did here, as he comes to the Lord with faith in his soul, believing that the Lord was able. No, it is nothing with thee to help. We see here something very sacred. The dear man viewing the great power of his God. There were all these multitudes that were against him, out to destroy the dear man. And he cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. You see, all those enemies that were against him were all in the Lord's hands. There may be much against you tonight, in your soul, in your pathway, in your circumstances. It may not be men, as it were, armies like it was against Asa. But, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. You see, he was coming to his God, who had all power in heaven and in earth, to help him. What does the Lord say in his word? I have laid help on one that is mighty. And who is that? The blessed mighty Saviour, the dear Lord Jesus. And he's promised to help his dear people, which I will come to in a moment. He says, whether with many. You see, the Lord's a sovereign. Sometimes he uses many, as he did many times throughout the word of God to destroy the enemies. Or, he says, with them that have no power. And you might say, Lord, that's just how I am. I've got no power. But you see, he was going to his God who had all power. Think of those precious words of the Saviour. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, to come to one, Lord, help me, one who has all power to help, whether with many or with him that hath no power. And then he says, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Now where are you resting and where am I tonight for help? Well, Asa was resting in the right place, wasn't it? We sung in our opening hymn, and really it was very confirming to me, that was to be resting in the eternal God and resting in his everlasting arms, underneath the everlasting arms that was over that sacred hymn. And in thy name we go against this multitude. You notice how he went against that multitude. He didn't go in his own power or in his own strength, did he? But in the name of the Lord. And why did he go like that? Because the Lord was to have all the glory, and the Lord alone could deliver him. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And they couldn't, could they? Because Asa proved the power of his God, just as David did when he went forth to fight Goliath. Lord, help me. Notice how personal this is. There may be one tonight that's come, Lord, it's me. I need so much thy help. And why do you need it? Well, first of all, because you feel so helpless yourself. You cannot begin to help yourself at all. A poor, weak, helpless worm. But as the poet say, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Lord, help me to rest in thee. Help me to trust in thee. Help me to commit all my way to thee. Help me now, I'm in such need, it's me, Lord. I need thy help. And this is how the dear woman was. We noticed last evening that no man could help her. But the Lord could. And this is why she came to him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to the Lord knowing that he is able. I think of those beautiful words that the king Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, didn't he? When Daniel was cast into the den of lions, he said, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? We sing in one of our hymns, don't we, those precious words, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more, and he's able to help those that have to plead this, Lord, help me. And it won't be just the prayer of the child of God in their early beginning. It'll be their prayer right the way through their life. And I'll go even further. It'll be their prayer sometimes every hour of the day when you're in real need. Lord, help me. It'll be the prayer when you awake in the morning, and it'll be the prayer right the way through the day, and it'll be the prayer when you go to sleep. And it'll be the prayer of the child of God on their dying bed, Lord, help me to die. Help me to fall asleep in Jesus. Lord, help me. And it's a prayer, it won't matter how many times you use it, it will never wear out. You think of the years that have passed since the Holy Spirit indicted this dear woman to pray that prayer, and the reality of it today is still the same as it was in the case of that dear woman. And it will be to the end of time, there will be those that will have to pray it. And the Lord is still able to help those that need that help. Oh, he is. He is able, you see. Go back to Daniel. He is thy God whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. And what did Daniel answer the king? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. You see, the Lord is able. And you look how he helped Daniel go into that den. And you look how he helped Daniel by shutting the lion's mouth. And how he helped Daniel to believe in his God. We read that the Lord delivered Daniel because he believed in his God. And the Lord gave him that faith to believe. And he helped him to believe. You know, we often mourn him because of our unbelief. But oh, it's a solemn thing if we're resting on our mourning over unbelief. And it's a solemn thing if we're resting on our unbelief. But what a blessed thing when the Lord gives us a grain of living faith to believe, like he did Daniel. You know, really, when the sinner comes to the Lord, Lord, help me, it's because they have faith to believe that he will help them. That's why they come. We sang last evening, didn't we? When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. There's been a word, and I wondered much whether I would preach from it this evening, but I feel it dovetails in beautifully with this word, really. That seemed to follow me when we left home yesterday. And it was what David said in Psalm 42 and 43. And I name it because there may be one here that's in that. And if you are, you'll need the Lord to help you. In those beautiful Psalms, what does David say as he looks in his own soul? He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now you think of that question tonight. Why art thou cast down? The Lord knew why dear David was cast down. He knows maybe why you are cast down this evening. You may know many of God's dear children, and I do, that are very cast down. And as much to cast the child of God down, think of this dear woman, how cast down she was. Our sin casts us down, doesn't it? The hidings of the Lord's face cast the sinner down. When the Lord is silent to our prayers, it casts us down, doesn't it? David was plagued with his enemies and they cast him down. When we look in this solemn day in which we live, the low state of Zion, the lack of fruit, it's much to cast the child of God down in the Lord's dear servants. The sad decline throughout Zion. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You see, and when we're cast down, we need the Lord's help, don't we? And it may be, and that's why I name it this evening, there are those of you who are cast down. And when we're cast down, oh, how we have to pray, Lord, help me. Help me to endure this cast down state. Help me to look to the Lord out of it all. That he would bring me up out of it. And then, of course, there was much to disquiet in David's heart, wasn't there? Oh, there was. There may be with yours tonight. But you know, there's a wonderful word that follows it, isn't there? I've often blessed the Lord that the Holy Spirit didn't leave it with just, why art thou cast down and why art thou disquieted within me? You see, the Holy Spirit records more, doesn't he? Hope thou in God. Now, I know what you'll say. If only I could. Well, our text will suit you. Lord, help me to hope in thee. Don't let me have hope just in myself, or in any man, or any arm of flesh, or any false foundation, but to hope in thee. Hope thou in God. Really, what David was doing under the Holy Spirit's divine aid was this, really. Encouraging his soul in the Lord. We read on another occasion, don't we, where David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we need help to do that, don't we? But then, look at the wonderful faith that was given to dear David. For I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. That is faith, believing the hour would come where the Lord would bring him out of it and deliver him. I shall yet praise him. Before him was that wonderful prospect, and we need, don't we, faith to view it, the sweet prospect that we shall yet praise him. It may be, I don't know what you may be in tonight, but the Lord knows, and you come, Lord, help me, but oh, give me that faith to believe I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Dear Mr. Sperling Tyler used to so often say, you know, if we've got a real religion, we've got before some wonderful prospects. And faith will view them. Of course, the prospect that is set before each one of God's dear children is the prospect of being with Christ at home in glory. Wonderful prospect when that's set before us. But you see, so often clouds obscure our view, don't they? And we have to come back, Lord, help me. Help me to view that blessed prospect. But then the prospect of deliverance. Why do you go to the Lord? Why did this dear woman go to the Lord? Why did the dear man in Mark's Gospel go to the Lord? Because they had the prospect of deliverance. That's why they went. He was set before them. And if we look at it in a far greater and deeper way, oh, I tried to preach at home on Lord's Day afternoon of the dear Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he speaks of his soul being exceedingly sorrowful. And the child of God that's got a real religion will enter in a little measure into those sorrows as they journey through this earth, just in a little. But why name it thinking of the prospect? He knew, though he got to walk this and endure it with such sorrow and agony, he knew before him was a wonderful prospect of having his dear church and bride with him in glory when he'd endured the cross, despising the shame. What do we read? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. That wonderful prospect. And so with every one of God's dear children. Now you may say, well, what I'm in tonight, with all the sorrows, with all the sins that weigh me down, with all the distress, with all the afflictions, however can there be a blessed prospect? The prospect is in the dear Redeemer, and the sinner's hope in him is not in man. And it's not in us, in and of ourselves, but the Lord will set this before us, like he did with David. I shall yet praise him. Now, I don't know why I named that this evening, but, you know, I can't get away from it, because the sweet prospect of sin forgiven. Those of you who are weighed down by it tonight, Lord, help me to repent. Help me to mourn over my sin. Help me to confess them before thee. And why do you plead it? Because you long for the prospect of pardon. And you can't go on without it, can you? You want to know that all those sins that weigh you down and plague you tonight are all forgiven. Oh, think of the dear woman caught in the act of adultery. And you know all those accusers went out one by one, didn't they? And he says, neither do I condemn thee. Oh, think about it. What a mercy it'd be if the Lord conveyed sweet pardon into your soul and mine tonight, like he did the publicans. Lord, help me to plead for mercy. Help me to pray each day and to pray aright, to ask for those things that are in accordance with the Lord's holy mind and will. Lord, help me. I need it so much. I venture to say tonight that this prayer suits one personally very well, because the older I get, the more I have to plead. And especially after 47 years in the ministry, I have to plead it every time I go into the pulpit. Lord, help me. And I know if he doesn't help me, I'm finished. Lord, help me. And then you need it to hear, don't you? How many times you come into Swavesey Chapel, Lord, do help me to hear for my soul and hear for a prophet, and help me to believe what I hear, and that it may be food to my soul. Lord, help me. Well, there are many conditions you'll come into where you have to plead this. You young ones at school, in exams, when you're troubled about the company of the school friends and other things that will perplex you and burden you, Lord, help me. And help me to walk uprightly, and help me to walk close to thy word, and close to a precious Jesus. Lord, help me. This word is suited, you see, for the youngest seeking of souls, and it's a good prayer and desire for the aged saint, maybe of 100 years of age. Lord, help me. But I want to look at it from another aspect as we may be helped this evening. This is a blessed prayer. But poor soul, do you know what it is, and do I, when the Lord does help us? You think of that tonight. We hear it so often said, well, I plead this continually. But do we know the other side of it? Well, going to Psalm 28, we read it, I believe, the last evening or just recently. What does the psalmist say? And I am helped. You know, we will know, and the real child of God, when they plead for help, will know when the Lord does come and help them. And so often, especially through affliction and through trials and through bitter sorrows, sometimes we may not feel it as we would while we're in it. But when the Lord brings us out of it, we look back and we can see how he's helped us. What does the hymn writer say? He that hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. And you can look back, can't you? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And he can look back for that help, can't we? And that enables the child of God to go on and to continue. But let us look at a few of the things that the Lord will help you with. One sweet help that the Lord will give to you, those that plead him for help, will be, he will help them by him being with them. His sweet presence with them. What a help it was to the two that journeyed to Emmaus, wasn't it? Oh, you look at the sorrow they were in. But Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. And all that help they never forgot, did they? What did they say about it when they got to the journey's end? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? They knew what it was to be helped in it. Another blessed help will be when the Lord answers your petitions, your prayers. You think of dear Hannah when the Lord delivered her from her adversary, delivered her in her soul, gave her a Samuel. How the dear woman was helped. And then, let us go a step further with that dear woman. She was helped then to praise him, wasn't she? It's a good desire, you know, to praise the Lord. Oh, that my soul, I hope it's my prayer every day, could love and praise him more. And you look at that wonderful second chapter, how the Lord helped her to praise his blessed name for the help that he'd given her. It's like Samuel between Mizpah and Shen. What did he do? He raised up the stone of Ebenezer, and what did he say? that beautiful word, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He could acknowledge it before the God of heaven, couldn't he? Think of the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa and those nobles. What did he say? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And without that help, he couldn't continue, could he? But to your poor sin-sick soul, pleading the Lord would help you, as I named earlier, to repent and to confess your sin. But what a help when he conveys his pardoning love into your soul. Thy sins, that are many, are all forgiven. You'll look for them, they'll all be gone. Washed away by, and I speak it with much reverence, with the precious blood of Jesus. Cleansed from all sin. And what a help that is to the child of God. They can praise then his blessed name. But then, he will help his dear people under the ministry of the word. You think as you look back through the past year, or even through the 2 months that have gone of this year, what help have you received? It's a wonderful thing when the Lord uses his servants to help his dear people. He sends them with that help for them. Lord, help me. And when they're helped, they know what it is to feel it. You may say, well, I go out of the house of God sometimes and I haven't got exactly what I needed from the Lord. Or you say, I haven't got the clear answer from the Lord to my prayer, but there's one thing I can say when I go out. I know what it is to feel helped. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord using his servants to help his dear people to venture on in the journey. But then he helped them from his word. There's a beautiful chapter, isn't there? Well, there's many beautiful chapters in God's word, but one's mind goes to that 41st chapter in Isaiah. And let me just name 3 verses in it that have been such a great help. And here the Lord has promised to help his dear people. In verse 10, that very precious verse that the Lord has sealed home may be to many here tonight and to many others. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then listen, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then in verses 13 and 14 he says this, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, how the Lord promises to help his dear people. And in those sacred verses, you have the sweet seal of it. Oh, I will help them. But then, we will look at it in brief, in conclusion, from another way. Those that have received this help, what a wonderful mercy when they can declare it. And be a help to the Church of God. and to Zion. How sweet it is when we've got something to declare of how the Lord has helped us and how he helps us to speak of it, and speak of it to his honour, to his glory, to his praise. You think of that wonderful help that was given to the Apostle Paul and to Silas when they were delivered in the jail of Philippi. How the Lord wonderfully helped them, and how he helped the jailer by working in him. And he and all his were baptized. The Lord wonderfully helped them. And he helped the apostle, and I say it lovingly tonight, and he helped the dear man to be submissive to the Lord's will, didn't he? We don't find any complaining in the apostles, Silas, or in Paul, do we? They were helped to be submissive to the Lord's will, and helped to be willing was the jailer to follow his Lord and Master. And you think on the day of Pentecost how the Lord helped them to follow him and to be obedient to him. And those that receive this help have got something to speak of. They can speak of how the Lord helped them, can't they? In many ways, in affliction. And when they're in the depths, think of this dear woman. She got something to speak of, hasn't she? Well, think of Legion, the mad Gadarene, when he sat at the feet of Jesus. What a help it was when the Lord cast the devils out of him and brings him to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what did Jesus say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. And the Lord helped him to do it, didn't he? Well, may he help you. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 70. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast. My Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Hymn 70.
to come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Oh, do we bless thy word to our never dying souls. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little to bite. Forgive anything that's been amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.